trustworthy is he is. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. I know, I know, I know, I know. Oh, my God. You know how many times you've seen me stretched out. God did it. God will do it. He'll bring you back. Trust in him today. I trusted in God. I trusted in him. I trust in him today. Oh, he healed me. He'll heal you today. Yeah. Whatever it is, give it up. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Give it to him. He'll trust in him. He'll do it. He'll do it every time. Trust in him today. No matter what it is, who it is, it doesn't matter. God will do it.
Yes,
he'll do it today.
Yes,
believe in him.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory to his name. They sing of a future hope, but they testify of a right now. You see, without your right now experience, there is no future hope. So in our right now experience, we can rejoice because we are assured that there is a future hope. So the things that we go through is just a part of the process that help us to get to our future hope. So I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. I cry out to him. He heard me, and he responded.
Yes.
He gave me an answer. So no matter what I'm going through, I can survive my right now because of my future hope, because I have an expectation on the Lord, because the Lord has made me a promise that one day all my troubles will be over. That one day all the troubles of this world will be gone. That one day there'll be a sweet by and by. That one day. So in my right now, I can trust him. In my right now, I can lean on him. In my right now, I can rely on him. Are you trusting him in your right now experience? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, are you trusting him in your right now? Because your right now determines your future. If you can't trust him now, if we can't trust him now, it shows that we really don't believe in who he say he is. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, You see, there are some people who don't have a future hope. There are some people who are not experiencing the glory that you're experiencing right now. There are some people out there who needs what God has given us, that they too might sing of a future hope, that they too may praise him in their right now experience. So we have a responsibility as a body of Christ. We have a responsibility as his ambassadors. We have a responsibility as his bond servants. We have a responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1. I want to make emphasis on verse 2, but I'll read to verse 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions in your right now, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof your ministry. From this passage of scripture, I want to just reiterate the thought of Paul, the statement of Paul in verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. This scripture is often used at a pastoral installation. It's normally used when a new pastor is being appointed to a church. And at the first service, normally it's the pastor of his home church who would preach at that installation service. And this passage is commonly used. But I want to tell you that if we are soldiers in the army of God, we should always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that is within us. So what I pray that this will be all our installation service. That at the end of today, we all will be installed into the ministry. That we all will walk out of here today being installed. That when we walk away from each other today, instead of saying goodbye, I see you later, we still remind each other to preach the word. You see, if there is ever a time where this instruction by Paul is most relevant, it is now. Because as the scripture tells us, that man has truly become lovers of themselves. They have become covetous. They have become boasters. They have become proud. They have become blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. If there is ever a time that this word by Paul is relevant, it is now. Men are truth breakers. They are false accusers. They are incontinent. They are fierce. They are despisers of those that are good. They are traitors. They are heady. They are high-minded. They are lovers of pleasure rather than the lover of God, if ever a time that this word, it is now where everyone seems to be speaking and owning their own truth. If ever a time when this word should be relevant to us to preach the word, it is now. You see, man has found, we have found ourselves evolving above and beyond the confines and restraint of God's word into whatever we tell ourselves that we are, into whatever we desire ourselves to be. If ever there is a time that this word is relevant, it is now. It is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It is not next year. It is not the year after. It is right now. But if I should ask Paul this question, Paul, what does it mean to preach? See, Paul uses this Greek word, keruso, which means to herald, to proclaim in an authoritative manner that portrays it ought to be listened to or obeyed. It's like a public service announcement. It's like back in the old English days when they would say, hear he, hear he. Preaching is like breaking news. It is something that the world ought to hear because it is that important. And if it's a time that the world needs to hear a word from God, it is now. So John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the word that is used here is the word is logos. And the word was with God, and the word was God. It said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This logos, the word, it shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in this passage, John denotes the essential word of God, that Jesus the Christ is the personal wisdom and power that's in union with God the Father. He said his ministry in creation and government of the universe, he is the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, which for the purpose of obtaining man's salvation became one of us in the person of Christ, the Messiah, and shown in a clear and visible way from his words and deeds. So the Logos is the word of God, the expressive thought of God, his ethics. His nature, who he is being expressed, because when God speaks, he speaks from his heart. He speaks from the essence of who he is. You see, God doesn't fake nothing. God is as real as it gets. God don't fake nothing. So in the beginning was the expressive thought of God. And the expressive thought of God was made flesh. That we could behold this expressive thought of God. That we may have a better understanding of who God really is. That we may understand how much God really loves us. That he would send his only begotten son into a world to do for us that we were unable to do for ourselves. But I see in the scripture where the prophet described the word as fire and as a hammer. When I look in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire? Say the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, I see Jeremiah said, "Then I said, I will not mention of him nor speak anymore in his name, but his word in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So here we speak of the word as if a fire or a hammer. But I also see in Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12, where the word is also described as a sword. He said, "For the word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word. Don't turn from sound doctrine to fables. Preach the word. Don't turn from sound doctrine to myth. Preach the word. Don't turn from sound doctrine to some new thing." He said, "Preach the word. Don't turn to something that sounds good for the moment, that has no power to change the heart of man." He said, "Preach the word." But Paul, why should the word be preached? You see, there is a disease by the name of sin. It is the mother of all diseases. You see, from this disease, all other diseases came. It doesn't matter what the name is. Because of sin, it is present in the world today. But the word is the remedy. The word is the antidote. The word has the ability to combat all the issues of sin. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a saving grace. Those who are being saved are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For grace he have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." But Romans 10, verse 17 also said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But further up in verse 4, he said, how then shall they call on him who they haven't believed? And how shall they believe him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, deliverance is in the word. Deliverance is in the word. You see, the problem why there is not much deliverance is because we refuse to preach the word. If we preach the word, everything that we need is in the word. You can't have that promise, that future expectation without the word. You can't survive your day to day without the word. You can't survive your right now without the word. You have no testimony in the right now without the word. So we have to preach the word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, the word of God has a mission. The word of God knows how to break through a hardened heart. The word of God knows how to break loose every chain that tends to bind and set captives free. The word of God knows how to heal the sick. The word of God knows how to raise the dead. The word of God knows how to set crooked things straight. The word of God knows exactly what it is that we are standing in need of. So perhaps the reason why we haven't received some of the things that God has promised to us is because we refuse to preach the word. We refuse to stand on the word. We refuse to stand flat-footed and say, this is what my God has said. So I will stand on the word of God. Perhaps it's because we haven't said, for God I will live and for God I will die. But whatever comes may, I am standing on the word. So Paul said, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach it when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Preach the word when people want to hear it, and preach the word when people don't want to hear it. Preach the word in friendly circumstances. Preach the word in unfriendly circumstances. Preach the word no matter where you are. Preach the word no matter who is around. Preach the word no matter who want to hear it. Preach the word. Preach the word. But so in order for the season not to matter, in order for the circumstance not to matter, in order for the people not to matter, you see, the word has to be in you. The word has to be making the difference in your life. The word has to be transforming you. So now that I'm aware that sometimes I ain't gonna feel like it, but I'm still charged to preach the word. Now my prayer changed. I said, Lord, conform me to your word. That the people doesn't matter. That the circumstance doesn't matter. That it don't matter where I'm at, it doesn't matter. But allow me to preach your word, whatever come may. Because your word, if your word ever go forth, if your word ever go forth, it will accomplish some things in our lives. It will accomplish some things in the lives of others. Preach the word. So Lord, transform me so the season don't matter. Who I'm in the midst of doesn't matter. Because you are my God. Because you are my Lord. And I'm surrendering to your will. I'm surrendering to you. And say, Lord, have your way. No matter where I'm at. No matter who is there. No matter who don't want to hear it. Because your word must go forth. Your word. We have to get to the place where we want nothing in us to stand in the way of the word getting to the people. So if I preach the word based on what the scripture said the word is, it say it is like fire. It say it is like a hammer. It said it is like a sword. So if I preach the word, won't there be more broken spirit? Won't there be more of a broken spirit and a contrite heart before the Lord? If I preach the word, won't there be more cutting of the heart and more of the questions being asked, what must I do to be saved? If I preach the word, don't there will be more, maybe less of a self-willed? Don't there be less stubborn believers? If I preach the word, wouldn't the word become like fire? Consuming what needs to be consumed and purifying what needs to be purified. If I preach the word from a place where I've been arrested by the word, I can't help it, won't God be glorified? Preach the word of God. Perhaps you're not so sure. Can I convince you a little bit more to preach the word? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. It said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require on your hand. Do you still want to play with the word? Do you still want to walk in disobedience to the word? Do you still want to refuse to preach the word? Do you still want to refuse to testify to someone else about the goodness of God? Do you still want to let somebody know? Don't you want to let somebody know that the wages of sin is death? Don't you want to let somebody know that there is an impending judgment that is on their way? God said, if I tell you to say and you don't say, if I instructed you to say and you refuse to say, and that person die in their sin, their blood is going to be on you. So we are charged to preach the word. Preach the word of God. Carry out our responsibility as a good soldier. What we need is not a word that gives us itchy ears. What we need is not a word that soothes our sin. What we need is a word that transforms. What we need is a word that makes us can't sleep at night until we do right. What we need is a word that causes us to forgive. What we need is a word that causes us to love one another. What we need is a word that we can't stay the same. What we need is a word that get in our bones. That when we don't feel like it, something is on the inside that makes me uneasy. That made me can't be at peace. Because there's a word on the inside that needs to come out. Because somebody needs to hear that word that their soul may be delivered. He said, preach the word. You see, preaching the word is no guarantee that they're going to receive it. It's no guarantee that they're going to receive it. But that's on them. But if we don't preach it, it's on us. So preach the word that if after their own lusts they heap up for themselves teachers having itchy ears, it's not on us. Preach the word that if they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, it's not on us. You have been installed into a kingdom. So in every facet of your life, preach the word. In our singing, preach the word. Oh, they were preaching earlier today. In our conversations, preach the word. In our conduct, preach the word. In our living, preach the word. In season, preach the word. Out of season, preach the word. Paul said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul said, as God as my witness, as God as my witness, I told you that you should preach the word. As God as my witness, Timothy, I charge you that you should preach the word, because everything that the world needs is in the word. There's a lot of people who didn't realize that they need it. But since we know, if we know, that we really need the word. We ought to tell somebody else about the word. If we have experienced the word for ourselves, and we have experienced the change that the word has brought in our lives, shouldn't we be happy and willing to tell somebody else about this word that saves, this word that sanctifies, this word that heals, this word that redeems?
Yes, God. Yes, God.
But perhaps the word is not in you. You can get the word today.
Yes.
Today is your day. Right now is the time for salvation. Right now, while you are alive right now, 10 minutes from now is not promised. 5 minutes from now is not promised. 1 minute from now is not promised. 30 seconds from now is not promised. And if 30 seconds from now is not promised, next month is not promised. Next year is not promised. The year after is not promised. Right now. Right now. Right now is the time to accept the word. Right now is the time for salvation. Right now is to accept Christ as your Savior so you can have that hope that they sing of early. So you can have that joy in the midst of life's circumstances, in the midst of life's issues. That right now, regardless of whatever you go through, you can say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
So in everything that you do, in every facet of life, in your action, in your reaction, in your mannerism, in everything, preach the word of God. God bless you.
Give God some praise in the house. Boy, did he preach the word. Scripture says this, that the word of God is God.
Yeah.
There is a supernatural.